Still nothing. Hey, he's alive. Hey, I don't know if you know this, but if the enemy's going to get in anything, it seems like he gets in technology. He's like, it's been unbelievable this morning. None of the cameras worked, sound wasn't working, all kinds of stuff. It just happens. And by the way, we never recognize the audio-video guys until something goes wrong. You don't even know they're in the room most Sundays, and then all of a sudden they're put on the spot. And I'm telling you, it's nerve-wracking as all get out. So anyway, all right, we'll see. I'll go with this for a while. I may hurt myself trying to hold a microphone. I don't do it very often. All right, I normally beg for a lapel. So anyway, we're going to talk about a kingdom mindset. And just this morning, as I was thinking and preparing for this, I really enjoy learning from great leaders in different fields other than just church life. I try to learn from high-capacity leaders and pastors and those kinds of things. I try to make friends with them, learn. But even if it's biography or whatever it is, I try to learn from them because what I found out, and for me it's particularly sports, and I don't want to start an argument this morning, but I'll go ahead and set you straight. The greatest basketball of all time is Michael Jordan. All right, no argument this morning. We're going to keep going. The greatest golfer of all time, in my mind, is Tiger Woods. And I realize those are my contemporaries, and I watched childhood growing up, all that kind of thing. But one of the things those guys, and there's so many more we could talk about that are greats in their field, I think one of the things that tends to set them apart is their mindset. Yes, they have incredible physical abilities. And God has gifted them with incredible abilities for their field. That's how they become great. You don't become the greatest without, or even in the conversation, without having some ability. But what tends to separate them is their mindset, how they approach. And it's so different, usually, than those around them. And so I enjoy learning from leaders and people who are great in their field, and know not to potentially set them up as a standard for morality or those kinds of things. Jesus is only that, okay? But I like to learn from them. And so this morning we are going to talk about having a kingdom mindset and having an approach to the way we live our life that may be different than others around us. Okay, so Philippians, we're going to begin in chapter 3 in verse 17. We're going to end in chapter 4. If you're watching online, there are notes on our website. There's also through the YouVersion Bible app, you can follow along there as well. So Philippians chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 17. And if you have found your place, you're willing and you're able, one more time, I'm going to ask if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have for us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the word by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And I pray this morning that everything that is said and done, that God, you be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more and nothing less. And we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Did we pick this up? We didn't. That's all right. It's all right, Kevin. I'll go with this, all right? We'll see. See how much I hurt myself. I can't use my hands. But so we're talking about having a kingdom mindset. And remember, we're coming out of chapter 3 and the end of chapter 3, going into chapter 4, this explanation of joy. The focus and the intentionality of Philippians is joy. And then in chapter 3, he's breaking it down. He's explaining how that joy ought to be relevant and personal in our lives. And so this morning, the main idea of the text is this: God desires for us to live with a kingdom mindset. That you and I ought to live in such a way that our eyes, our mind, our intentions are fixed on the kingdom, the capital K, that is heaven. And we're going to see a contrast of those whose mind, eyes, everything, their intentions and their purpose is fixed here on earth. And listen, there's nothing wrong with pursuing some things here on earth and trying to achieve and be the best we can. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat, whether we drink, we do all things for the glory of God. That's a good thing. However, you and I, those of us who have trusted in Jesus, are living with our eyes fixed somewhere else besides this earth. And so I want to talk about having a kingdom mindset. So the question of the text this morning, the question for you is, are you living with a kingdom mindset? Are you living with your eyes fixed on heaven? Knowing that what you're investing in and what you're doing, some of it, much of it is temporary. Or are we trying to do things and live in such a way that will make an eternal impact? And there are three truths out of the text this morning I just want us to dig into, to learn from this morning as Paul writes this incredible letter to the Philippians. Number one, kingdom-minded is replicable. It can be repeated. It can be replicated. And I want you to see that out of the text this morning. Look at verse 17 if you have your Bible. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who also walk, or who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. If you have your Bible, mark or underline pattern. And remember, last week we talked about pressing on. And the week before that was about knowing Christ. So he walks through. You ought to know Christ. And here's his righteousness. He posts his resume. That's good for nothing. But I'm only going to heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus. And then he says there's going to be hard days, there's going to be tough times, and that we need to press on. We need to live with intentionality, live with purpose. And now we transition into verse 17, and he says, brethren, he says, listen, come close, those who are in the faith, the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church of Philippi, and here's what you need to do. You need to walk like we walk, and you need to talk like we talk. He said, use us as a pattern. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, I've come to a place and I'm in a place in my walk. And Paul would be the first to say, we have that incredible passage from Romans where Paul writes, he says, I am the chief among sinners. So this isn't a boasting for Paul. This is a Paul saying, listen, I was wayward, I was lost, I was legalistic, I was eat up with religion, but I got saved and I'm turning, I've transitioned that passion and pursuit for Christ, and now I live for Jesus and I'm pressing on because he has called me to follow him. And now he's saying, church, listen, lean in close. Here's a pattern that you need to walk after. Because being kingdom-minded is replicable. What do I mean by that? Here's the deal, that sometimes we think about being a super Christian and we think about these incredible feats that heroes of the faith have accomplished. We think about reaching thousands for Christ or translating a Bible in an unknown language in a remote part of the world or giving 50 years on the mission field and only living off sardines. And listen, those are incredible stories. And I'm grateful for all who have given their life and done those things. But listen, those are the rare moments through life. What we need in our day and time, we need believers who are kingdom-minded, that no matter where God puts you in Russellville, Arkansas, the Arkansas River Valley, that I'm going to follow Jesus. And you know what? People in Asia may never know my name. People in New York, people in Nashville may never know my name, but I'm so in love with God that I'm going to follow Him every day of my life, and I'm going to pursue His call in my life. That is a kingdom mindset. And you know what? God may call you to the ends of the earth. God may place you on a stage where everybody knows your name. God may give you social media account where you have more followers than it has letters after the number. But He might not. But a kingdom mindset is replicable. It's not so out of reach that I go, I don't even know how that happens. And that's what Paul is doing. Paul is following the Lord, and he is living daily among the people saying, hey, come spend some time with me. I've learned some things along the way. Here's an example. And by the way, where do our examples begin with? First here. It begins here. This is the living, powerful, inerrant, unchanging Word of God. It's the playbook. It's the pattern. It's the standard. And if you're going to have a kingdom mindset, the pattern you better begin with is the Word of God. And open up the Scripture every day. And I realize the majority may not read 10 and 12 chapters a day. That's okay. Remember last week we talked about maturing in faith in Christ and just taking the next step and taking the next step. And you maybe have been listening to podcasts and they've been good. They've been helping you or whatever the case may be. Or maybe you've been reading one verse a day. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're going to have a kingdom mindset, you got to take the next step. That next step in your pursuit, in your walk with Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:11, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that you are contentious among you. And there was division there and that was going on, and that's not a pattern to follow. That's not a fight to have. So sometimes we have good patterns and we don't have so of good patterns to follow. We're going to talk more about that in our second truth. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. When I was a youth pastor, this was a fun verse. This is what everybody had, and it was more, Jonathan, it was more like a weapon. You know, it was more like, well, don't nobody despise my youth. It was like, I'm going to tempt you. Were you looking down on me because I'm young? But that's not the meaning of the text at all. What he's saying to a young man named Timothy is he's saying, live in such a way, they don't think about your age. They think about your mindset, your approach. And so young or old, we need to live after a pattern. We have a pattern in Scripture. First, beginning with the Lord Jesus, and then with some heroes of the faith like Paul. We need to be in the Word and learn from them. Secondly, in terms of having a pattern, our first pattern is a Scripture. This is all free. This is not in your notes. It's Scripture. Secondly, it's somebody else that's a little further down the road than you in your walk of faith. You need somebody who's been saved a little longer, been living for Jesus a little bit longer, that's a little more mature in their faith, and you need to rub elbows with them. You need to spend some time around the table with them. You need to spend some time living life with them, eating at their table and them eating at your table. Because you begin to be challenged and you see how he or she treats their spouse, how he or she approaches their job, how they live daily, how they raise their kids, how they encourage one another. Whatever the case may be, somebody needs to be a little further down the road and you just need to walk in step with them. Now listen, they've got a sin nature just like you do. And everything that comes out of their mouth and everything they do is not righteous. They're going to struggle. You need to see those struggles. You need to see those hardships and understand, man, they struggle just like I do. And you know what? They're a little further down the road, they're a little longer. They'll repent, they'll stand up, dust themselves off, and they'll keep on for Jesus. It's replicable. And then last thing I want to finish on this idea, you need somebody a little bit behind you. Because this is the point, this is the picture that Paul gives. He's saying, listen, brothers and sisters, come follow me. I serve as a pattern, but in that itself is a pattern. He's saying not only do you need to have the scripture and look to Jesus and the author and finisher of our faith, you need somebody a little ahead of you, but you need somebody a little behind that you're setting a standard and a pattern for. And everybody right then just got a little nervous. Well, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a pattern to be followed. Amen. Neither am I. Neither is Paul apart from the work and grace and mercy of God. There was nothing good in Paul that God didn't do, and there's nothing good in you that God's not doing. And so there needs to be some folks walking behind us looking and learning. Hopefully they're learning something if we're a little further down the road in our walk with Christ. And they're going to learn some great things to do, and they're going to learn some things going, you know what? That's an area Chris really needs to work on. And it holds me accountable. It sets a standard for me. We got to have a kingdom mind that is replicable. So, get in the scripture. Think about somebody that's a little bit further down the road. And you know what? You may have an intentional conversation with them after today and go, hey, you know what? I believe you're a little bit further down the road in your walk of faith. And I just, as you have opportunity, I want to spend some time with you. I want to just try to learn and grow. And now listen, when you do that, you're going to have to help them back up. Because they're going to fall out. What you talking about? But then just spend time with them. And there may be somebody come to you or somebody in your influence. Won't you invite them into your circle? Into the things that you do and go, hey, let's just, it doesn't have to be anything over the top. Let's just learn together. Let's walk through this. Let me share with you some things that God has taught me. All right, number two, kingdom-minded is revealing. So it's replicable, but secondly, it's revealing. I want you to look at the text beginning in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I want you to hear the strength of this language. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind, here it is, on earthly things. Mark or underline earthly things. For our, circle this, citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. Okay, so we're going to work this backwards a little bit, okay? So I want you to see this in verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, okay? So there's the contrast. We set our mind on things above, not on things below. And he's telling you in the first two verses about somebody who has their mindset on earthly things, on things below. But I want you to catch what he says in the second half so it'll make me more clear in the first half. For our citizenship is in heaven, notice this, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior. So we're waiting on something. What are we waiting on? We're waiting on the Savior. That is Jesus. Why are we waiting? Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. What's he saying? We're waiting on him for the resurrection. Whether it be I take my last breath here on earth and you somebody has a graveside and a memorial, all that kind of thing, and then I return with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whether it's that or the day that he sounds the trumpet and maybe I'm still alive at that point and I go and be with the Lord Jesus. That's what he's pointing to. Notice in verse 21, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. What's he saying? He's saying by the power that Jesus has to put everything under control, that is speak to nothing and he forms everything, that is speak to the winds and waves and they cease, that is speak to a tomb and Lazarus comes out, that is speak and people are healed. By that power, the resurrection will come. And so he says, we live as citizens in heaven because Jesus is there and coming again. So you and I make everyday choices. We ought to make everyday choices knowing that the end goal is not here and now, but it's there. And so because of that, now hear the contrast in 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. By the way, I want you to hear the brokenness of Paul. Sometimes we jump on people who don't have the right intentions, the right purpose, or they're misleading people, and there's no sense of brokenness about it, especially in the church. And I want you to hear Paul. Paul had strong language for false prophets. But even in this moment, remember, it's replicable, there was a brokenness about Paul here. Why? Because if we're eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus to return and Jesus is everything that he said he was and he is, then you and I know that one day those of us who are repentant and placed our faith and trust in Jesus will spend eternity in heaven. But if the opposite is also true, that those who are false teachers, those who have not repented, will spend all eternity in hell. He says, many walk. And even now they're walking, but I tell you this, weeping, I tell you, broken. Church family, when's the last time? When's the last time you've circled our neighborhood? And you just wonder, does anybody in that house know Jesus? Does anybody? When's the last time you drove through campus? And I don't know what the numbers are this year, but on a typical year, 8,000 or 9,000 students will step foot on that campus. And you wonder, those are going to be the leaders all over the nation and some all over the world. And God has, such a time as this, placed us here in proximity to the campus that we might be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus. When's the last time you drove through and go, the reality is the majority of students that step foot on this campus don't know Christ. When's the last time it's broke your heart? Paul said, I even tell you now, weeping. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Not only is he weeping because they're lost, but he's weeping because they're leading people astray. Listen to what he says about them, whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Listen to the difference. They have an earthly mindset. They're driven by what they want, what they think they need, and their end is eternity separated from Christ. Now, let me be really clear. I can be broken over the lostness of a false teacher and still call out the false teaching. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, we've got to love all people. There are some false teachers in our nation, around the world. Always has been, probably always will be until the Lord Jesus returns. We need to be broken over their destruction, but we've got to stand firm and be bold with what is truth and what is right, because there really is one truth. And so it's revealing how you live your life, how people live their lives. It will reveal where your mindset is. What you invest in, what you spend your time doing will reveal what you invest in. Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers because of the mutilation. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. Here's some more of Paul's strong language about false teachers. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. There's the deception. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So here's the importance. We need to have a pattern of Scripture, a pattern of a brother or sister ahead of us, that we can be careful and know the difference between those who have their mind set on heaven and those who have their mind set on earth. And as you follow someone, it'll be revealed where their mind is. But know this, as somebody follows you, it'll be revealed where your mindset really is, including our children. Romans 16, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Listen, dear friend, this is why there is a process to join our church. We're not trying to make it extra biblical, and we're not trying to make it where it's some private sort of club, but we want to make sure as best we can, first and foremost, that anyone who joins our faith family knows Jesus. And now I realize that somebody may join, somebody could already be a member, and it's likely we may have members of our church who don't yet know Christ. But it's also one of those things where we don't broadcast. If we're looking for a teacher for something, I don't stand up here and say, hey, we've got an open position, anybody come? Because I realize we need to be careful who we put in positions of leadership and teaching the Scripture so that we don't lead people astray. And you need to be equally as careful in your life of who you listen to and who you allow to teach you the Scriptures. And be a pattern for you. All right, so it's replicable, it's revealing. Number three, kingdom-minded is resolved. There's a fortitude to it. There's a determinedness to being kingdom-minded. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, all right, so because of all of that, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. There's the command. Mark, underline that. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And he goes on to say, I implore you, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. But he says, stand fast in the Lord. couple things. As you walk or mature in Christ and you pursue this joy, it doesn't come overnight. You know this as well as I do. Anything that happens in a moment, in a microwave sort of setting, it's usually not worth having. There are rare exceptions, I understand, but for the most part, in our spiritual walk, to get it overnight, unless the Lord just incredibly blesses you and does a great work in that moment, but as you walk, you die to self, you mature in Christ Jesus, it's not going to happen overnight. But the other thing, it's not going to happen without some resistance. It's not going to happen without some struggle. And we need to understand that the enemy's going to come against you. The enemy's going to fight against this. He's going to disguise himself. As you try to seek truth and you try to seek righteousness and find these patterns and these opportunities, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be struggle. And you need to have a little resolve about you. Little stick-to-itness. Don't quit. Don't give up. That's why there may be some of you who are approximately 182 days behind on your daily reading this year. Or maybe you were going to memorize the whole book of Psalms and you're still on Psalm 1. Whatever the case may be, listen, stick to it. Stand firm. College students, listen, stand firm. You've been taught truth. You've been entrained in this. And some of you spent many hours in church and under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And you're going to be under some teaching and some things out there that you need to learn about, you need to know about. But there needs to be a sense of resolve that I know the truth because I have the pattern. I've got some folks who have walked ahead of me. And importantly, there's some folks that are looking up to me trying to learn a little bit as I go. We need to have some resolve to stand firm. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, and be brave." And in Philippians 1:27-28, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God." One of the evidences of your salvation is standing firm in the faith. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to fault off this. Now, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have seasons, hard times, seasons where you do better than others, maybe even seasons of doubt. But dear friend, we serve the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He has called us to a high calling, and He has called us to have a kingdom mindset that I'm living for the kingdom to come, not the earth here and now. And again, there's some things to enjoy about this life, and that we can enjoy doing, and that's okay, so long as we remember we're not living for the here and now. And then finally, I would challenge you with this. Some of you need to make a decision like Miss Clara did a few weeks ago. I really enjoyed visiting with Clara and Jeff. I hope one day COVID and coronavirus, all that stuff's going to go away. We get to fellowship and learn everybody's name again and all that kind of thing. Get a chance to hear their story, but Ms. Claire talked about that there were just some things she believed for a long time and struggled, and she came to that place several weeks ago, I don't know, sometime in June, sitting in a service just like this, and she knew the Lord was dealing with her heart. She needed to turn from her sin and place her faith and trust in Christ. Some of you may need to make that decision this morning. The Bible says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You too, this morning, can pray right where you're at, right in this moment. And say, I need to ask God to forgive me of my sins, be the boss and master of my life. And the Bible says God will save you. And it'll be the most important decision you'll ever make. And you'll go from, man, I've been focused on the here and now, but now I'm focused on the kingdom. Let's pray. God in heaven, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And God, I pray this morning for anybody who needs to repent and believe on you, anybody that needs to seek forgiveness of their sin and ask you to save them, God. I pray right now that you, Holy Spirit, would move in their life, that they'd be able to pray and ask you to forgive them, be the boss of their life. Give them the boldness, I pray. With head bowed, eyes closed, if that's you, you can pray something like this. Whatever you do, you pray and you mean it with all your heart, and the Bible says God will save you. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you'd say, Brother Chris, I prayed that this morning and I meant it with all my heart. I asked God to save me this morning. Would you just slip your hand up in the air? Say, Brother Chris, I prayed it and I meant it with all my heart this morning. God, I love and adore you. I thank you for your affection for us. God, I pray in this moment as we think about leaving this place, I pray you'd help us to be kingdom-minded. And we'd first pattern our lives after you and what you've shown us through the Scriptures. Pattern our lives after those that are walking true in the faith a little further ahead of us. And that, God, it may be replicable for those who may be a little bit further behind us. God, help us to have a sense of resolve to be committed to you. And Lord Jesus, we live for you this week. Lord, we love and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.